Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Hardline on 590 The Fan, KFNS and 590thefan.com. That is where you can listen to it on a desktop. I suppose you could do it if you wanted to on your phone, but I'd recommend that 590 The Fan app. That's the easiest, best place to get us, no matter where you go. Because, Raymer, when was the last time you walked somewhere without your cell phone?
And I am not a tech guy. I think about a month ago, a month ago, I left it on the kitchen counter.
Panic mode.
And I was a little edgy for a couple hours till I had a chance to go back home and get it.
Little edgy. Yep. I'm losing my mind.
So that is brutal. You know what was brutal for the SLU opponent last night was that second half. The second half, I did enjoy the press. And as you pointed out, teams that press generally don't like to be pressed. And we had some Rick Pitino jump up. Rick Pitino, of course, his press has worked his entire life except for the years with the Celtics. He tried that. Did not work so well there. But in college ball, because guys can't just dribble right out of the press, you have things happen like last night. And there were two big things outside of the general spectrum of what happened last night that I think show off the athleticism of this team and why this team may be a little bit different. Hassan French block. That was one of the best blocks I've ever seen.
French rejection.
That was unbelievable. And then maybe the better block, it just wasn't as pretty, was the Cartier-Gordon come-from-behind rejection.
You are so right.
Was unbelievable and showed off all the athleticism that you and I have been talking about for the last month.
You are so right. That was – and the energy that starts to come, it is funny. And your sport's different because maybe I'll get your thoughts because – you have separate offensive-defensive units. In hockey, much like basketball, much like soccer, much like lacrosse, all those similar sports that have those kinds of angles and momentum, offense comes from defense.
Oh, yeah, man.
Offense comes from defense.
Yep.
And when Travis turned it up, everything started to happen positive. The defense started, and then the offense picked up. There's no doubt of the connection.
Oh, yeah, man.
And when you play great defense, it takes about 20 feet to get you a dunk. And that happened
twice
in a row.
Yeah.
One was the Gordon dunk. I forgot who it was.
Hassan.
But yeah. Yep. And then Isabel had a layup right out. You saw yesterday, you saw, I think, that's the ceiling. The second half is the SLU ceiling. And that's as good a ball as you can see.
I think you're right because we were shooting it well. Not just dunks and layups, but threes.
How much do you chalk that up to just getting in a rhythm and getting the game going, and then also just this team being a team full of athletes right now that are much better in transition than the half court?
I'm not sure that those are really separate questions. I think you create the rhythm by turning up the intensity defensively. I think that's how they were able to create that rhythm and get on the attack, and then everybody starts to kind of – the momentum pulls everybody along, and then you have contributors, and then it goes.
We saw yesterday Bess hit four threes. The only critique that you can possibly have about his four threes is that if he could shorten up his gathering on that shot, he would be lethal. It just takes him about a tick longer than I think it could. The best shooters that you see – are, and I'm naming the best shooter maybe in the world here, Klay Thompson, right? Catch and shoot, 10,000. Bess, like, gathers, gets his feet set, goes, and then lets it rip. And when he has time, it's beautiful. When he doesn't have time, that's tough.
I think that's fair. You know what's funny is, and maybe it'll develop as he goes on to play pro ball, whether it's the league or Europe or Australia, wherever it is, he'll make money playing basketball. He wasn't always a shooter. He's really worked to develop. And so I think that's coming. And the reason I think it is because you see how he can his mid-range jumper off the dribble and off screens and pop up and hit it. Mm-hmm. I think that indicates that maybe –
maybe there's a door there to be had.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he doesn't – he's a set shooter from three. I don't think I've ever seen him take a jumper from three, which honestly, that's become the game. Steph Curry doesn't take jumpers from three.
Yeah.
Steph Curry takes a set shot from 40 feet. Mm-hmm. That's how he does it, right? So you can do it if you have a really quick trigger. Bess doesn't from that range. And anybody who's plays basketball knows it's easy to have a quick trigger from 14 feet, not so easy to have it from 23. It's a different game. But, again, that – like, now I'm nitpicking on a guy who made four threes and hit every open shot that you could ask him to hit. That's just the thing that we said they could play. That's about as well as they can play. If this is not a good three-point shooting team. If you get a guy who can change that, and maybe Bess is that guy. I don't know if this is who he can be. And he can do it even when he's covered, and you only have a little bit of space because you have such a quick trigger. That's what opens the door to, okay, now good luck covering everybody.
You know, Isabel has a quick release. And the other guy we haven't seen, but I saw him working out in the summer and into the fall, was Deion Wiley. Mm-hmm. But he's always hurt.
Yeah.
He's that guy. It's just flick of the wrist with unlimited range. He may be back Saturday, probably in another week. But that was one of the big reasons they added him to the program. So, you know, bringing those assets on board, and Yngvi Gudmundsson, the freshman from Iceland who had appendicitis.
Yeah.
You know, he is a guy who's more of a pure shooter that way. And so, but it'll just take time for those assets to come along.
They played phenomenally well yesterday. And
in the second half.
42% from the free throw line. Not many free throws. You shot 98 for 19, but good grief, you got. I mean, that is a thing that will keep you from going anywhere.
Hit your free throws and you cover the spread. Spread was 20, I think. And you say, wow, that's a lot. It's proved to be a lot. But you do some of the little things that you're supposed to do, play like you did in the second half, and you would have covered. That's, you know, it was just an atrocious half that you were able to, from which you were able to recover, and you did.
This team, as you've pointed out over the past few weeks now, is coming together in a few different areas, one of which defensively you saw, like, a team with the ability to just go straight into the press and dominate that way. We'll see if they can do that against A-10 competition. Maybe that is just the opponent you're playing against. The ability to go in and out of it at any point in the game really makes you lethal defensively. And what they have to figure out is if they truly do have a shooter. You're watching Javon Bess now. I'm looking up his stuff. He's shooting 39% from the three-point line.
Which is excellent.
That is absolutely. You'll take that all day long. So the answer now is, if that's who he is, and maybe you don't have enough shots yet, and maybe, but then he's the guy that you have to force feed and get that rolling. He took 7 threes, hit 4 of them. That'll work. The rest of the team didn't hit too many, right? The rest of the team was 2 for 7. He was the guy that put you into respectable range there. And he also hit his 3 free throws last night, 3 for 4. You're seeing things come together where you have Hassan French, who can protect the rim. Cartier Gordon does virtually everything well. He doesn't do anything over the top like dominant right now, but every game that goes by, I'm like, oh, he can do that too. I mean, it's
right.
Nearly everything.
Yep.
By the end of the season, if he's doing everything one or two notches above what he's doing right now, now you're talking into the special player range. You have moved to a place, I think, where this team has showed enough in different games that if they do come together, you're talking about a legitimately lethal team come tournament time that if they get a spot can win a few games.
Well, that's where you hope to grow. And that's one of the beauties of college basketball is seeing a team evolve, or unfortunately, sometimes they don't evolve.
Right.
But that's your plan. Let's pull this group together. Let's figure out who we are. And let's grow, and so that you're playing at your best when March rolls around.
I think today, and you've obviously seen a lot more of the Billikens games than I have, but we've been listening to Travis Ford, who basically says, yeah, we're not very good yet. And he said that at halftime yesterday. I don't know if we have the sound on that. Solomon, I know I got some sound. I do not know which we have at all. If you guys do have the halftime. Okay, here is the message to the guys at halftime from Travis Ford.
I told them at halftime, your team's very comfortable. That team was walking off the court smiling. I don't even think they were sweating. I told them, I don't even think they were sweating walking off the court at halftime. So, they, you know, we got to get them, and we're comfortable. We're way too comfortable. We need to get a little uncomfortable and make them a little uncomfortable. And finally, the press did that a little bit.
That is that was Travis Ford talking, and he was right. I mean, that – We were having our 5-minute pre-show discussion with Bob Ramsey here, and he said, I was trying to figure out what I was going to say today without being too much of a jerk, because that first half there just wasn't too much you could say nicely. And instead we get to talk about what an unbelievable second half it was and guys that can really do things.
And here's what I was going to say, and the first half played into it, and you guys have seen it. The perfect trap game. You have a big win against a great opponent. In a week, you've got a great opponent coming up. And in the middle, you've got an opponent that's not there. Add to that, remember when you were kids, finals week, right?
Don't remember that, but yeah, go ahead.
So you go into all that. It was the perfect trap game. However, it wasn't a surprise. Coach told him, I heard him tell him, that you got to be ready. This is a team that's been to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, three out of the last five, whatever the number was. He goes, you know, you guys are mentally exhausted. It can't be an excuse. You've got to overcome that. It's like telling a guy going out hiking, look, go down this trail, but there's a big bear trap there. Don't step into it. Okay, I say, wait a minute. Don't step into the bear trap. Don't step in. And then you get a call. Oh, yeah, the guy stepped into the bear trap. And so it was there, and this bear trap almost closed, but it didn't lock, and they were able to escape.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Travis Ford talked about what it was like scheduling a game during finals week. Here he is.
You know, I was concerned. It wasn't the smartest scheduling on my part. It sounded good whenever we scheduled it, probably in May and June. It looked good, but scheduling was not the smartest scheduling deal on my part, putting this game here. Because we looked like a team for 25 minutes that looked like we had just come out of a tough week of finals. Guys still studying till late last night and turning in things because we, you know, been on the road as much as we were to New York and different things. They had things they had to get caught up on and get in before the deadline. And it's been a long, probably 7 days, and it only gets longer. And they look like a team that was in a war on Sunday. And those are all excuses. It's 100% what they are, excuses.
And
that is well put.
Yeah, and so
I really like Travis Ford.
He's wonderful because he tells you what he sees and what he thinks.
Yeah.
And so at halftime, so this is the trap you're talking about. Yeah, let's see if we can get it off your leg now.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I thought, though, was really interesting, the difference, though, was his timeout 2 minutes into the second half. And when they take that timeout and he changes, says, okay, we got to – they go, this is more of the same. And he changed right then. He said he had to take that gamble, and he changed.
Let's hear from him on that. This is Travis Ford on the moment he saw his team change.
When you get desperate, it's going to go one or two ways. And we played with some desperation for 15 minutes. And it changed the game. The press changed the game. The energy changed the game. I went to seeing a group for 25 minutes that looked like zombies to a group that was fired up and energized and coming to the timeouts, and their eyes were big and they were talking to each other. And then I knew we were okay.
I want to go back to the last thing for a second. It is funny. Let me translate for you. I had no idea we had a team that studies, and now I know. Moving forward, we will not schedule anymore like
Why did he schedules it?
Well, yeah, it's them along with the correspondence to the athletic department.
Yeah, his basketball operations guy, Chris Tipp, and you say it's the timing. It's not the game. Game was a good game because they're going to win a bunch of games in their league and maybe get in the tournament again, and so it'll be good. But, yeah, it's funny when he says,
Isabel, you study?
Yeah.
Okay. Fred Patch, what in the hell are you studying
for?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, really, it is funny.
So, by the way, I was just talking about this, and I've now seen the cut sheet. He talked about it last night. This team, he's seeing the same thing, and he knows, how do we say this, that he's forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know. That's absolutely true. As an outsider, that has not followed too much of SLU basketball, but has gotten more into it this year. Watching it, I think, wow, there's enough pieces here that this team could make the tournament. This is Travis Ford on predicting to make the NCAA tournament.
They've been in a lot of good games, and they're going to win a lot of games. That team right there will be in the NCAA tournament. They will win their league and be in the NCAA tournament.
So, yeah. And
his team just crushed them.
Yeah.
So what's that say about what he thinks about his team?
Yeah, you know what's – and the other thing that he told us last night on the post-game show was that that game last night was exactly how North Carolina Central plays every single game. He goes, every loss they had, they were leading late in the game, 5 minutes left. They were leading and ended up just couldn't quite sustain it. Might be one of the best 35-minute teams around.
Yeah.
But you got to go 40. You know, the other thing I wanted to say about him talking about zombies and getting the energy up, first of all, the aforementioned Javon Bess, who is, relative to the basketball world, practically heroic. He played over 39 minutes last night.
Oh.
That is not something you want to do every night, but he played. Jordan Goodwin stayed on that press, and he only came out I don't have the play-by-play sheet in front of me. He only came out late. He had to come out of the game.
He played 35 minutes.
And during the press, he played almost the whole time. Mm-hmm. He came out, and you guys have been at this level, and folks who work out really, really hard to where you're starting to have dry heaves.
Oh,
yeah.
He was coming out ready to puke.
All right.
That's how.
That means you're working.
That's
yeah,
how
baby.
Hard he was. Isn't that? I mean,
yeah,
that,
baby.
You
I
feel
that.
Bad for him for a moment, but you know he's going to be all right. Yeah. But that's how hard
get
they
work. Get some Pedialyte in you, baby.
That's
no
exactly
deal.
Right.
But that's when all your teammates walk over, give you a high five, and say, yeah. Hell yeah.
And then
yes.
You feel great
that's
after
right.
The game. You feel unbelievable.
I knew
after,
you guys yeah. Would
yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
I knew
that's
it.
Feeling. That's the feeling I miss the most, man, when you put it on the line like
that's
that
right.
In the locker room afterwards.
You know,
oh, yeah.
That's when you know you've given everything.
Yep.
We this is a story.
Or you're hungover.
That he might he might not love me telling the story, but he lives in Houston, so I doubt he's listening. Will Ebner played
yeah.
A game like that against UCF. We went down there and beat them. This is when Blake Bortles was the quarterback. And it was like 10,000 degrees, and the offense was garbage. We hardly played because when the offense sucks, you're three and out. And then
you're over by the big round
yeah,
fan.
I felt fine. I was fully hydrated, no big problem. But the defense played balls to the wall, man. And they are the only reason we won that game. I mean, Michael Sam had a huge sack right before Blake Bortles held the ball, and it was similar to the Brady sack where they didn't have any timeouts, took a sack right before half, so they didn't get any points. I mean, it was plays like that all
yeah.
Game. And Will Ebner walks into there's female trainers, you know, and so you just make sure you're clothed. You walk
yeah.
In, get ice in. Will was so dazed and out of it. He walks in there fully naked, and poor girl Jill's like, Will, you're not wearing any pants. He's like, huh? Well, here's some ice. Go put your pants on. Will didn't say a word, just took the ice and turned around.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. But it was – I mean, he was so out of it and
yeah.
So dehydrated and so sick in that moment.
Yeah.
But he's also the only reason we won that game. And all the offense all walks over and apologizes to him. Hell, yeah, Will.
Love that story.
Yeah,
so, God, I love those moments in games.
Yeah, that was
great.
The pretty cool deal there. So, anyway, I am really excited about this SLU team. And, in fact – you know, we talk about basketball and how it's sort of been a letdown over the last few years. You know, Missouri kind of had their thing last year, but Illinois has kind of been up and down. And Illinois still not very good this year. Missouri, after we readjusted our expectations, I think are playing above what I thought they'd be post the Jontay Porter loss. And I think SLU's playing above what I thought they would be. So it's actually been an enjoyable start to the NCAA season if you're a St. Louis basketball fan.
Well, you know, after the run with Majerus and Jim Cruz and fell off the cliff for 3 years, and then Travis comes in looking to build it back. This is his third year. Circumstances from last year kind of held the program back a year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, pushing the boulder up the hill, you know,
yep.
And getting there. And you're right. It is exciting to see it grow and see it build.
It is. And just for some, you know, it's you have three teams that you can at least like to say see play well. When
yeah.
The Final Four was here, when was this, 2004?
Is it that long ago?
Somewhere around there. It was when Sean May
yeah.
Was playing for North Carolina. So whatever
back,
that was.
A while back, you're
all
right.
And Dee Ford and Darren Williams, they had three guys on that team that were spectacular for Illinois. Dee Brown, thank you. And not Dee Ford, it was Dee Brown. Anyway. Bunch of cats that could really play. And I was wearing a bright orange Illinois hoodie cheering like hell. Like it was just a cool thing
yeah,
in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
I'm like 14 years old. You know, we went there and they had the Illinois stuff. It was 2005 NCAA tournaments. There you go. And that was a lot of fun. You had
it
like
was
legitimate,
really fun.
You know, and North Carolina had all those guys, McCann. And,
yeah.
You know, they ended up winning the whole thing. Michigan State, I think, was in it. It was, one, it was in St. Louis. But two, you had, what's that?
Lutherhead,
thank you. And you had a whole bunch of guys in it, and we had a local, somewhat local team that I could cheer for. You know, just as a St. Louis kid, it was fun. The Final Four was here. That I loved. SLU has been similar, right? It's like everybody tries to make the – I think I've told you this before – make the SLU-Mizzou rivalry. I've not ever been interested in that. I hope SLU wins every game.
Love the game and grow the game in our
yes.
Area
yep.
And have everybody be good. That's when it's best.
Absolutely. And I want Mizzou to win, absolutely. I want SLU to win too. They're not in the same conference. They don't play each other. Maybe they will someday. I hope it happens. But the point is if you are a basketball fan and you've got three teams to kind of hope, generally, you know, you try to make the Illinois-Missouri rivalry, and fine, we used to play them in football. Not anymore. We'll play them again in like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Outside of that, if Illinois does well, great. I would love to see Illinois upset Ohio State every few years. That'd be great. You know, let's – anytime you can get around the –
Didn't you say upsets are boring the other day?
No, I said underdogs.
Yeah, I listen.
Underdogs are mostly useless. And Illinois.
Cam, you're not supposed to be taking notes over there.
Illinois is not a blood donor. Blood donor either. I just think you shouldn't schedule Citadel. That's mostly what I mean by my comments here. I like upsets. In fact, I told you I cheer for them. But most of the time, it's just a waste of thought.
Energy.
Yes. But Illinois sure felt like a blood donor, some of this Lovie Smith era. So anyway, point being is we could be in for some fun postseason basketball, and it's been a little while since that's been true.
Gibby chimes in and goes, Rammer, do they have a chance against FSU?
So you're saying we have a chance.
1,000,001, baby.
It'll be really hard. Yeah. It'll be a really, really difficult game, but they were right there, and I won't say should have, but could have beaten Houston, and I think Houston might end up being better than Florida State.
Really?
So – it's a different animal, though. They're a different animal than Houston. They're big, and they dominate inside. Our bigs will be challenged. It's not technically a road game, but it's a road game. Absolutely, you have a chance.
All right.
I think they probably slept at the office last night because they're already on their way to Florida, working on the game plan.
Florida State should be sleeping at the office too after that second half. I think so.
That's what's interesting. You don't go into a game as a coach. I hope we have a chance. Put a game plan together to win.
Yes.
Yep. A game plan together to win.
Which is why, Rammer, we don't ask coaches how many we think they're going
to
win this
year. I've been around too long to make it.
Who'd you ask that to?
One of our coaches. In a social setting.
Oh, well, whatever.
I was talking to another guy, and he goes, don't ask the coach. And I go, yeah, you're right.
Nah, I'm just
how many think you're going to win this year? He's like, bro, all of them.
Every single one.
Exactly right.
Oh, that's great.
Rammer's like, stupid. That's a good point.
Oh, gosh, Rammer, that's not that bad. Trust me.
No, I said worse an hour ago. So
I mean, come on.
Anyway,
man.
Hey, do you want to tell us about our friends over at Royal Banks?
You still have time. The Boo Bear Drive. You know, I always talk about what Royal Banks does in the community. They're always – it's not just a stuffy bank that we just do this and you come in and, you know, give us your money and walk. They care about the neighborhood. They care about our community. They do the half-court shot for students. Students get to come out and shoot half court at Billiken games. Last night, a student got $1,400. And so then it builds. You know, if somebody misses, then it rolls over, you know.
Yeah.
So it was up to $1,400. A kid got it. Just little things like that, always trying to stay engaged.
Pretty cool.
Well, the way they're doing it right now is the Boo Bear Drive. I've already taken up most of my time. I'll tell you real quick. You've got a couple of days left, I think three more days, to get your stuffed animal to Royal Banks of Missouri, 11 locations. The new stuffed animals you send, that goes to children's hospitals that are caring for kids with cancer. The slightly used ones that we clean up and give, that goes to kids in shelters all over the St. Louis area. And even the ones that are too used, we send those to the Humane Society.
Oh, yeah.
So the pups have a toy for Christmas.
They don't care.
Nothing goes to waste. It's Royal Banks. They care about the community. They care about you. Help put a smile on a kid's face this Christmas. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We do love our friends over at Royal Banks. That is an awesome charity. And I'm not even a dog guy.
No, you're not.
I let one live in my house, so I think I count as a dog guy now. So there you go.
No, you don't.
There may be a day where he's saying, I'm letting this guy live in my house.
Yeah.
Mitch, he can come over anytime he wants.
No, the dog, your dog.
That could be true. Although I think
it's a boy.
I may outlive this dog.
Okay, well, it's an alpha male situation.
The dog is six. Poor Kara moves every 5 minutes. You know, she did, not poor Kara. It's her fault for moving every 5 minutes. But this dog is 6 years old. Has lived in 7 houses. Yeah. So anyway.
And it's living with you. Oh gosh.
Yeah. Right. Poor family. We don't even look at each other unless Kara's around.
It's kind of awful.
I'm kidding. We have all sorts of fun.
No,
we have tea parties. Everything's good. We go on lots of runs and walks. And
you let him out to go to the bathroom at all?
No, but I throw toys and he runs to get it.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, he doesn't bring it back.
He's so loving.
He thinks if you don't know this, he thinks of you as his buddy. You're his buddy.
Well,
yeah, right.
There you go. He should think of that. I let him live in my house. We got
to
go to break.
We'll to
hey, John Hadley joining us on the other side here. Cool. I want to get into the Josh Gordon thing. It has officially come down that he has been suspended indefinitely by the NFL for he's on violating terms of his conditional reinstatement. So that is a large. Obviously, that's probably the entirety of why he stepped away from the game for his mental health. He had no choice. So we're going to dive into that. We'll talk to John Hadley about it. On the other side, stick around. We're at 909 Public House. Come hang out with us. And if you can't make it down, well, you need to make it out here very soon. Out 909 Public House in Wentzville. It's a hard line.